Yes, please.
First I have a comment.
A comment, yeah, sure.
And then I have a question concerning meditation. Okay, my first comment is that last night you spoke about the fact that mindfulness needs heartfulness.
Yes, yes.
And I think that one of the purposes that we hear is that when we go home, we're going to meditate at home. I think it's kind of insane to think at home that we're going to have absolute silence. I know when I meditate, I often have a dog barking or a car outside honking the horn or whatever. And I think that it's up to me to learn how to adjust to the noises that are around, that are naturally around me when I meditate. And this is kind of a comment on something that's been commented on since I got here. And the point is that the mindfulness here, I hope also would be with heartfulness, and there are some people sitting here, that even though an air conditioner is on all the time, that's noise, but it's a constant noise. And but there are people here that are just sitting in absolute sweat at the same time. And I don't know which is heartfulness and which is not heartfulness. That's my comment. And now I have my story, and then you can comment. Okay, because I don't really want to comment on that. A while ago, I was in a very, very deep depression because of something that happened to me. And I found myself crying quite a bit, and I didn't know how to get out of the depression, although I have all these kinds of tricks and techniques and whatever. And I think that was the deepest depression I was ever in. Mm-hmm. And one morning when I was at this, and I was carrying on my regular routine, which should have helped me get out of depression, but it didn't. And one morning when I was at the sport club working out, something made me very angry, and I was on the treadmill, and I found myself thinking in a certain line of thought that I know that if I continue thinking in this line of thought, I'm going to get to someplace where I don't want to be. So the next thing I did was I went on the bicycle. They have this stationary bicycle, and I started riding on the bicycle. And I told everybody not to bother me, and I closed my eyes, and I set the bicycle for a half hour. And I started meditating on the bicycle. And
it's getting rather a long story.
Yeah, I'm finished. Right, I'm finished okay. in 1 second. There was noise and everything, but I concentrated on my breath. Then I concentrated on my knees going around, and then I concentrated on my toes. And I found that when I got off the bicycle, I felt fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did that 4 more times that week,
yeah.
And my depression went away.
Wonderful.
And
can I ask something?
Yeah.
When you were on the bicycle, did you sweat?
Oh, very much.
Right.
Okay. All right. I understand the point. Okay. One upmanship, okay. But my question is, what is it in the meditation that helps us get through problems? You know, it wasn't any kind of thinking that got me through that depression.
No. But I mean, it's a very lovely and inspiring story, and I think sometimes that moment, critical moment, as you said, where one knew, something deep knew, that if you continued in that line of thinking, it would be a very slippery and unsatisfactory downhill slope. And your energy and your capacity to recognize that and then immediately to act, essentially to change the energy flow. And therefore put the whole energy flow in a completely different direction. And that really was a real point of rescue. and the fact, of course, of the bicycle and of the putting that half-hour time, it really makes a difference. And in that situation, of course, you were rather blessed in terms of the meeting of situations, that in the gym that you picked that up. And so in a situation like this, of course, we're using sitting, walking, standing, communication, etc., etc., to see through awareness of breathing, awareness of body, and many other factors to help have a much greater sense of well-being and harmony with the being. So, and pick up those kind of chains of thought and trains of thought very, very quickly, very, very early, so that one cuts that pattern long before it even gets to that kind of hard workout that you referred to.
The funny thing was that I had been on the bicycle several times, and, and nothing had ever changed except when I did the meditating, and I meditated, you know, quite frequently at home, but nothing helped until the kind of...
Yes, sometimes the motivation, the intention, the purposefulness that you brought to it really made a difference, and therefore it was really mind and body were working hard together to ensure that you didn't, you know, this train of thought didn't get a grip. Mm-hmm. And much of what we're doing here, every time we bring the attention back to the breath, it's a cutting of the thought and a letting go of the thought and not indulging in thinking. And there will be times in with the recording?
Oh, it's not a person.
Can record?
Very often during the meditation, the breathing practice, and I sometimes also do the body scan, same thing. Let's concentrate on the breathing meditation. I get sensations which are completely unrelated to the breathing. And with my nervous system, that make me jump. That's not general. My question is basically if there is any understanding of those sensations. And second, what may be more important is how do we manage them?
I wouldn't give it a second thought about managing them. No, not bothered. But I think more important things than that. If we just take the general health condition, etc., how would you view, just in a general way, your relationship to the events from top of the head to the end of toes? How's your relationship to it all?
I don't understand.
No. Sometimes we look around and we might say, oh, these other people, they're quite healthy or whatever. And then there are certain disabilities, all obvious. And my question is, how is your connection or acknowledgement or acceptance or relationship with this in daily life?
Well, do we have 2 or 3 hours?
It'll be nearer the 2. What would you say?
I think that I manage within the physical limitations.
Yes.
I manage very well.
Good. Good attitude.
I more or less accept what comes with those limitations.
Yeah.
I should say that this is a general rule, but there are exceptions when I get so mad at myself.
All right.
That I curse or maybe allowed, maybe not allowed.
Allowed.
Yeah, because things might happen that are so unpleasant that I want to bury myself. Disappear. But I say again that I think that and for me coming here is a way of proof, and staying here is also a way of proof, because in the group I said that I had yesterday morning, after not sleeping the night, I was ready to pack the car and leave.
Mm.
And only this gentleman over there said, "Oh, give it a chance." And I'm glad he did.
Nice. Good.
Breaking the silence, but...
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
So, sometimes there is some, what we call, disability, and therefore certain privileges that many of us have, you don't have access to, and naturally enough that can bring frustration, and as you say, want to bury yourself or whatever, and others also frustration as well in other matters, and the same kind of response may take place there. Given the fact of these limitations which go on, the general view, the general perception of the body also matters a great deal. How much do you, it's not an easy question, how much do you regard yourself and this body as being the same or different?
Definitely the same.
Definitely the same. So?
I cannot exist without this body.
And be very up and down existing with it. Troubled with existing with it. Sometimes I experience frustration because I can't, because... Has there been any moments where the sense of I am the body, this is who I am, I can't exist without it. Has there been any moments where the conviction of that view is not quite so solid?
Okay.
No, it's a difficult question, but why ask easy ones? We say, this is who I am. And I can't exist with it. And therefore, who I am and this is kind of one of the same thing. And this seems a very truth. This is seems the reality. My question is there any chance of any doubt in this strong belief?
I'm not sure I understand. I'll answer what I understand.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. I think on a deep metaphysical level is what you said yesterday, I think yesterday or the day before yesterday in your talk, that you don't have to be, you don't have to be young, you don't have to be beautiful, you can be disabled and you are still a person, and
I'm more interested in the deep physical level rather than the metaphysical.
The deep physical level.
Yeah, I'm not thinking metaphysics, I'm thinking physical. Yeah, this baggage.
The McDonald's.
Alright. So would you say everything from head to toes is all who you are?
Not metaphysically.
No, physically, actually. Yeah. Would you say everything from head to toes is who you are?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So, when you cut your toenails, what do you do with them?
Well, I don't cut my toenails, I have them cut.
look at the privilege of a disability. All right, so somebody cuts your toenails, what do they do with them?
Throw them out, cut my hair.
Yeah, exactly. All right then.
Sweep the floor and throw it out.
All right then, and what about when you go to the toilet? Same story.
Same thing.
All right. So if it's yourself, and so daily and every few days, week or two, bits and pieces of you are disappearing, going. Doesn't it bring a lot of anguish? You say, oh, this is me. All this from head to toes is me. Some person kindly comes and cuts my toenails, or go and squat on the toilet, cut my hair, whatever. So does it, when it goes off, how does it go from being me to being not me? What's happened? Why don't we say, my God, we went to the toilet, squatted on the toilet, and there's something of me going down the toilet. Could feel very unhappy every morning.
No, I don't. In fact, I enjoy doing it.
Right, all right. At last. What a joy is it? All right. On retreats, it's the only letting go that some people do. Could there be something in that daily activity which could tell you something about bodily life? Why be selective? Why say, well, now that's off me, that's gone, that's not me, that pus isn't me, and that excrement isn't me, and those toenails are not me, no, and the hair isn't me.
Take it to its logical extreme, then nothing is me.
All right. How about dropping the word logical for a moment?
Yeah. Okay, then nothing is me.
How about nothing?
I can't lie on a bed of nails.
Pardon? No.
It's not me, but I still don't see myself walking on embers or something.
No. They do in India, though.
Yeah, I know.
I know, but they've got nothing else to do, have they? Look. So, there's from the head to the toes, and one just takes a few simple examples, and of course many of more, and I said, look, it just goes, one couldn't care less, it just goes, and no sense of myself down there, it just goes. Follow it through, one could apply it to everything of the head to toes, could one? Comes into the world, and it just goes. What would be a way of truly considering it? Truly sensing, not logically, but feelingly, feeling it through from everything that goes on, including the labels that get stuck on it mercilessly, like disability or whatever it might be, MS or whatever the word is. What would you like to look?
Can't answer.
No. All right. I mean, these are very hard questions. I'm not exactly right. So sometimes we look at all of this, and you said earlier on, at times we experience, like the rest of us, various sensations. Sometimes environmentally caused,
hot, environmentally.
By, influenced by the environment. If it's hot, we feel certain sensations. If it's cold, we feel certain other sensations. And sometimes we want some and we don't want the others. Then there are the sensations which are arising just because of organic life. Sensations arise when we're hungry, sensations arise when we're full, sensations arise as other people report sometimes in just coming out of the body. You get a tremor, get a sensation here, etc. And you say you can observe, you can see those sensations, you can notice those sensations, and they're coming, as you said, right out of the body. So is it that in looking at the sensations which are coming out of the body, is it, how can, if the body is you, how can you and you, one you looking at another you? Understand? You say, this is me. This is me. I don't know anything else. This is me. Let me say, but I can look at. So can you look at you?
Yes.
You'd be lucky. So if you can look at you, then you can look at you. Tell me, how is the body going to look at you? Because it's you. Tell me how the body will. I know you are. I'm trying to make you confused. We say, you, me, looks at this. Me looks at me. Huh? If me looks at me, then me looks at me. Well, so far, that my knees haven't spoken to me my entire life.
Yes. It's one-sided.
You got it. It's all one-sided, terribly one-sided. The sensations come and go, don't they? You have these waves of sensations coming through the body, and the Buddha's listed the varieties of them. Pleasurable, painful, got to forget them, hot and cold, what we appreciate, what we don't appreciate, etc. Whole ranges of warm, tingling, throbbing, aching, paining, etc. All coming out of the body. Would it be useful just to see them, not as me, but just as sensations coming out of the body?
Yeah.
What would be useful in seeing it that way, and that you just don't see this, all these sensations, as you? What would be useful about it? Any sensations on top of your head, face? Put your hands on your face? Here? Or any? What would be useful in just seeing body sensations as body sensations? Not seeing them as you. What would be, what could be useful or helpful about that?
So that stop worrying about how to manage?
Well, all right, that would be a good start, wouldn't it?
Hmm?
One would stop worrying. Why would you stop worrying if you just looked and say, well, this is just body sensations going on. It's not me, because I can look at them. I mean, when you look at this, do you say, this is you? Let's say, eh?
No,
of course not. No. So why make a separation? So we say, here are these sensations going, and if I just see them as sensations of life expressing itself as organic, as elemental life, why would you stop worrying? I agree, one really does see that. Why does it take the worry out? It's not a hard question, but... The hard question as a contribution to an easy life. Don't worry, don't feel any pressure from me. All right. So, during this time, in terms of what we have said and what I just asked, the things I've just asked, what in the present moment is the way of looking at bodily life? How would you?
The present moment?
Yeah, in terms of looking at organic life, how would you describe your way of looking at it?
I'd have to come back to the beginning and say that this is me.
Is that right? The conviction is still there. All right. Let's take the inner life for a moment. The inner life. The thought arises, this is me. This is me. And there is a very strong conviction about it. And it feels certain. Where did this strong certainty come from? What makes one so sure this is me?
I can only say that if I step on a nail, I feel it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, sure.
I haven't had headaches for ages, so I can't say if I have a headache, I have it.
No. All right. When you step on something which hurts and say, I feel it, do you feel it or does the body feel it?
I feel it. The wrong answer, probably.
Eh? You're right there. All right. If you, whatever, you press your hand on something, right? And then there's, right now, that has to be painful, there's some sensation which is coming through. In this experience of the sensation which is arising, is it possible just to leave it, acknowledge it just as there? And so what's here is a kind of mirror. Just there. There's just a sensation. I've got my hand on the edge of the table. I can feel a sensation. I can feel a sensation. Can it just be left out there? That there's a sensation there, and there's just a witnessing of the sensation.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, right. When there's the witnessing of the sensation, how will you separate that witnessing from that which you touch? Put your hand on it, go and get a sense. Now, separate your hand from this. This is a sensation there. How are we going to know what's what when the eyes are closed and we're touching it?
I'm sure everyone knows the answer.
They don't. They're if you give them the answer, they'll be extremely happy.
I guess it's one side.
One side. If you held that for ages and ages and said, this is me, and held that for ages and ages, you could end up with the view, this is you as well, couldn't you?
No.
No?
No.
I'm on a bet. Let's take it another way. I don't know the why, but it seems this way. Only an idea, I don't want to put
words. Okay.
Eh?
It seems that way.
Okay. It seems that way.
Okay.
Is there any time when there is no attention to the body in your daily life, and the body is not an incident for you? it doesn't actually have a relevance for you. Has, in the meditations here, your mind wandered to some thoughts?
Yes.
Yeah. Could your mind have wandered to those thoughts whether you were Mr. Universe? In other words, perfect health. Perfect health. Perfectly healthy, so to speak. Could the mind have wandered to exactly the same thoughts?
Probably.
So at that,
I'm not sure if exactly.
No, but similar.
Yeah.
Eh? You might have thought about, I wonder what's for lunch today. All right. Good. All right. So, the physical life in that moment of thinking about what was for lunch wasn't actually present. In the moment of the thinking, whether you were young, old, tall, short, fat, thin, male, female, didn't nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Just some thoughts about. The physical actuality was not the reference point in that moment. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that tell you? It's not present every moment. Physical actuality is not ongoing every moment for us. A stream of thoughts will confirm it, as well as lots of other things. What does that tell you about physical?
That's a trap.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
Tell us about the trap.
Because it is still my body who is at this retreat. And therefore, it is worried about what is for lunch.
All right.
Okay?
All right. So we'll forget the food contact with the body, since it's your body or whatever. What about, you'd like to say a couple of words to somebody who is passing by and some thoughts arise?
That's a question.
What I'm trying to point to is physical actuality isn't present in every single moment. When we, as the Buddha said, when we are aware of one thing in that moment, there will be lack of awareness of something else.
Mm-hmm.
You have a few thoughts about whatever. You have a fantasy. You have a memory about, you have a daydream about, you have a thought about the future, etc. In that moment, plenty of those thoughts or ideas or fantasies, it wouldn't make any difference whether you were described as one who is physically able or as one who has some disability. It wouldn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
What does it tell you?
I can get to that point where I can detach myself of my body willingly? Is that what
you mean? A little bit. But more, rather than detach, it sounds a bit distant, but more a relationship to all of this, where the relationship to it, one is seeing it much more as it is. To see it as it is just organic life. That's all. To see it as organic life. Why make a possession out of it? It's all you can observe it, you can attend to it, you can go and sit on the toilet morning, noon and night, or and do what is necessary, you can feed it, whatever, etc., etc. That's all in the nature. Can there be an awareness with it as organic life? rather than one which is saying, this is me, this is myself, and this is who I am. I've not heard anything from you to convince me. Just organic life, just expressing itself. And if working to get that clear will take out a lot of the worry and fear. The more possessive you are, this is me, this is me, the more holding this is me, guaranteed the more worry, guaranteed the more fear, guaranteed the more anxiety with regard to the condition of the body. Whether the body is in this form or whether it's in this form, it's still only going to produce sensations. It's still, you will still be able to attend to the sensations. It will still be organic life. It will still be interactivity going on. If we take away the label of disability, ability, we take away all those terrible labels, then it's just organic life manifesting in a certain form. Are you willing to see that clearly and as confidently as you can say, oh, the tree is an expression of organic life, the sky, the earth, the trees, the flowers, the animals, human beings, and this as well. Why should you be the exception?
I don't know. These are questions that philosophers have dealt with for
not very
millennia.
Well. Have they? Well, I don't know the philosophers. That might be, but I think it would be a pity to think about the philosophers. I couldn't care less. They belong to history. I'm much more concerned with you having a clear, selfless relationship to this, because you understand the body does not belong to you. It never did belong to you in the first place. It belongs to the nature of existence. And if you let it be there, life will be easy. If you want to pull it from me and myself, life will be difficult. Comes from the nature of things, it returns to the nature of things, and it's a misunderstanding, think it's me and myself and who I am. It's conceited. If you had said before you were born, oh, I'll make this, I'll create this, I'll look like this, and then when I get to, how old were you when the MS started?
How old am I?
Yeah, when you were, when the MS started.
When I started?
Yeah, when you, 20 years ago, was it?
Yes, 22 years ago.
Oh.
44.
When you were 44 then? All right. So
not
you,
now.
Eh? Not now, no. Actually, you're very young for your age. Anyway, that's another story. So you didn't say, well, I'll be born, I'll take this body, I'll look like this, I'll have this, and then when I get to the age of 44, I'll spend more time in the wheelchair or something. If you had chosen all of that and decided, I will do that before birth and live like this, then I could say, oh yeah, this is yourself, you decided all of this. But you didn't decide any of it. Comes from nature, belongs to nature, and returns to nature. And to make that clear. Then you eat, you go to the toilet, you use the supports here, and you know something. That you don't have a disability. Just a little differences between this and a few others.
I don't have many words.
No. I think you've done extremely well to sit here through this. Most people after 5 minutes would have said, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Sweet. Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah.
And I see today in the city in meditation,
yes,
that you can say it about time, about pain, about most of the things in the mind.
Yes.
If you can say something about it. Actually, my question, if yes. I need to see it and know, or to do something.
Yeah. Did you have any particular experience that concerned you in any way, or is it just a general?
If it's pain, my leg pain.
Yeah.
I feel it like the way I feel the pain.
Yeah.
It's something that sitting in some box.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Same about time.
Yes.
Are you waiting for time? Yesterday you say something about it. The time. What is the difference?
Yes. Right. Right.
Etc.
Yes. Exactly.
It's the same, but it still makes some different because we're waiting for something
yes.
to happen. Maybe
in the future.
The next minute.
Yeah, sure.
It's going to have some different or some meaning on it.
Yeah. So, what I refer to in this is that when our sense of self arises, I can't remember if this is from the talk yesterday, but when our sense of self, or sense of I and me arises, and it seems quite strong and significant, and then what tends to happen is it tends to get associated with something in the world. What it associates may be with pain in the body. It may be associated with some memory or something that's going on in the present or something in the future. So then the differences do seem very, very big. So the more the self is involved, the more dwelling on something, then the differences between the past and the present will seem very big. The differences between the present and the future will seem very big. And the self, and all that it wraps itself around in feelings and thoughts and pictures and stories and imaginations and projections, builds up these huge differences. And similarly, even with pain, there's the pain arising, and one says, well, it's arising right now, 10 minutes ago I didn't have it, so there's a big difference there. If I change my leg, it will disappear in the next 2 minutes. And then it will disappear there. So the pain is arising in the present moment, and it seems a big difference, humanly enough, between the pain in the present moment and the non-pain when we change the position. So the self keeps feeling affected, and the substance of it keeps relating to past, present and future, pleasure and pain. One person reported in the small group yesterday, and I gave a little extra comment on it, that sometimes the self doesn't feel caught up in something of the past, something of the present, or something of the future. And when it doesn't feel caught up in it, the differences between the past, the present, future do not seem very big. Sometimes they seem hardly any different. Sometimes when we're very, very steady, we can't actually formulate any description of the differences. When the self is not at work, involved and caught up in what happened yesterday, what happened today, or what happened tomorrow, one can hardly notice the differences. And if one doesn't go into thinking, it's even harder to notice the differences. So something deeper than thinking, deeper than the ego, deeper than the self, begins to reveal something differently. And that which is revealed, something differently, deeper, brings us to the truth of things. Not all this projection of the self going from one crisis to another, or pleasure and pain, or constantly indulging in past and then in future and in present and all of that. That's virtual reality. So one person, as others have done as well, getting a sense that something of a different way, which seems much deeper and much more true and authentic, and living in the world of self and differences. And that's what the meditations and the Dharma teachings keep pointing to. And if we understand that well and clearly, it's easy dealing with this world of past, present and future and differences. Easy, because one knows it's not the reality. It's bubbles. Any response from your safer spot over there?
Hello, sir.
Any response in the moment?
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Oh, the self has already gone into time. Come back. Hey, this is it. There's no such thing out there called one day. There isn't a one day.
Pardon? In a Hebrew religion, they say everything comes in the right time.
Is it the same religion that says God is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow? Is that the same religion, or is that another one? What's your response? Okay. Any more to say? No. Good. Thank you. The point that you brought up was very, very important, and certainly appreciate the point. But everything is accepting the conventional world. Time and self, pain and issues, and they are important, and important to inquire and look into. But when we're, and there are periods when we're not involved in all of that. Sometimes we're not constantly thinking about ourselves or our problems or about yesterday or about what's going on today or tomorrow.